Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1932, with a release date of August 22, 2014, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in Hawaii are ready as tropical storms head their way. The Global Amateur Radio Emergency Conference looks at the future. Ham radio gets the message through when all else fails. A new microsat is hand-launched from the ISS, and the story of a retirement community that has adopted ham radio. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1932, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Parma, Ohio, here is Hal Rogers, KHCMD.
Hams in Hawaii were once again ready as Tropical Storm Izelle made landfall on the Big Island on Friday, August 8th. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the details on how radio amateurs on the island state were ready for this severe weather event.
As soon as hams on Hawaii were informed that Hurricane Izelle was headed toward them, preparations for its arrival began.
Well, we had the first advisory from the National Weather Service, I believe it was Thursday morning, and taking a look at it, we figured out that it would be landfall in about 10 days. So I already started to put out the word and the preparation. The baseline plan put together was to run our communications over a common channel on VHF, UHF. We have a statewide repeater system for that. And so National Weather Service, the Skywarn people would take the lead, and state civil defense and the county civil defenses would be a secondary role, waiting in case there was strong damage on any particular island.
That's Ron Hashiro, AH6RH, who serves as both Hawaii State RACES Coordinator and Emergency Coordinator for ARES. He tells Newsline that everything was in readiness when Izelle made its closest approach.
As the storm approached the Big Island, it approached as a Category 1 hurricane, and then just offshore, it kind of fizzled out a little bit to a very, very high-end tropical storm. And it hung offshore for 5.5 hours, and in the process, the brutal winds and the punishing rains just ground down on the southeast coast of the Big Island, the Puna District, and they took quite a beating over there.
As a result of the storm, some 21,900 residents were without electric power, and landline and cellular service was down in some areas, but ham radio kept the emergency responders in communications with one another.
The governor previously had declared an emergency, and with that declaration, we're able to activate our repeater on the top of Mauna Kea. That single repeater covered about two-thirds of the island and provided communications for a lot of the people. The county brought up their volunteers. Many of them are CERC, Community Emergency Response Team members, and a lot of them are amateur radio operators, and they use that repeater to keep in touch.
It took about 10 days for things to settle back to normal with all power and telephone service restored. Some of this is still happening as we go to air. Hashiro says that a lot of the success of the ham radio response is that all hams who work in emergency responders do so together for a common goal.
Well, we work cooperatively together. We really don't make a strong distinction between Skywarn, RACES, ARES. We all work together. Very often, same key leaders are serving in different capacities at different times. But we do want to stress interoperability among all amateur radio groups, because Hawaii being the most populated area in the most remote part of the world, should anything adverse happen, we all have to rely on each other. We all have to back each other up. And amateur radio is a big component of that plan.
AH6RH adds that he wants to give a lot of credit for this well-planned response to Paul Agamada, WH6FM. He organized the amateur radio response on Hawaii's Big Island. Hashiro says that it was because of WH6FM that the Big Island was prepared for the arrival of Tropical Storm Mazelle and for the area's recovery. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
All in all, a job well done by a group of radio amateurs who are always ready to expect the unexpected. The recent Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference, or GARIC 2014, held in Huntsville, Alabama just prior to the Huntsville Hamfest, shared many informative presentations, videos, and discussions on recent experiences, plus some media interest. All this while looking at the future of ham radio emergency communications worldwide. GARIC 2014 was hosted by ARRL Alabama Section, and the Huntsville Hamfest was attended by delegates from all three International Amateur Radio Union regions. Organizers Greg Serrett, W4OZK, said that besides routine items such as IARU regional reports, presentations were received on many topics. These included emergency communications as an element of promoting amateur radio, along with the Salvation Army's Saturn program and digital modes and remote control operation. Other presentations included the United States Defense Department's use of the military affiliate radio service for humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, and a combined emergency services dispatch center providing interoperable communications. During the conference, a number of themes began to emerge. These included the importance of meaningful conversations with served agencies to ensure that their communications needs are met. Another was to focus attention on amateur radio as a trusted partner in emergency response in all phases of the communications lifecycle. Also, a topic taken under advisement was the use of social media as a way to send near real-time information on an event. This, as long as doing so, does not compromise amateur radio's relationships with served agencies. All presentations will appear online at www.w4ozk.com/garrick14.htm. The next and 10th GARIC will be in Tampere, Finland, in June of 2015. It was ham radio to the rescue when an important message from remote Gough Island to the South Africa Department of Environmental Affairs could not be sent as the normal lines of communications were down. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, NAWB, is here with the details.
The story really began this past February when Pierre Tromp, ZS1HF, volunteered to go to Gough Island after a member of the Gough team had passed away on the island. Tromp was then transported to Gough Island, where he was assigned the call sign ZD9M. Over the weekend of August 9th, a serious incident occurred on the island. As the satellite phone connection to the African continent had been poor since the first week of August, ZD9M decided to use ham radio to contact Trevor Brinch, ZS1TR, for relay of the information back to Cape Town. While the text was not made public, the message contained 836 words and was sent a few at a time and repeated back for confirmation. The entire process took about 1 hour and 45 minutes to transfer via high-frequency radio. During this time, the two stations were forced to alternate between 20 and 30 meters as conditions were fading in and out on both bands. After confirmation of the content of the message, it was retyped into email format and successfully sent to the listed recipients. Another example of amateur radio being able to get the message delivered when all other methods fail. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinfort, NAWB reporting.
Gough Island is located in the South Atlantic Ocean and is uninhabited except for the personnel of a weather station which the South African National Antarctic Program has maintained since 1956. That makes it one of the most remote places on Earth with a constant human presence. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W6RHC repeater serving Chico, California. The The FCC has turned down a petition for reconsideration of a $15,000 notice of apparent liability filed by Walter Olenek and M. Ray Nadler Olenek of Austin, Texas. This in regard to an unlicensed broadcast station that agents of the Enforcement Bureau had previously traced to their residence. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has the latest follow-up report.
The story goes back to August 12, 2013, when an agent from the FCC's Enforcement Bureau's Houston office used direction finding to locate the source of a radio signal on 90.1 megahertz to an antenna atop a tower mounted to the side of an apartment building in the city of Austin. Ownership of both the building and tower were traced to Walter Olenek and M. Ray Nadler Olenek at that address. On September 6, 2013, the Houston office issued Mr. and Mrs. Olenek a warning letter, which advised them that the operation of an unlicensed radio station from their property violated the Communications Act. In their reply, the Oleneks did not deny that they owned the apartment building and operated the unlicensed radio station from it. Rather, they stated that the FCC agent did not have permission or consent to enter the premises. They also stated that because they had no commercial nexus with the commission, they did not consent, directly or by any implication, to the commission's policies, procedures, or jurisdiction. They also implied that they do not consider themselves subject to the laws of the United States and stated they expect any future communications to come from the International Bureau only after a treaty to which they are signatories is signed. But in its findings, the FCC noted that it has every right to observe from common grounds and that it also had the authority to regulate radio transmissions within the state of Texas. With that, it gave the Oleneks the customary 30 days from the February 19th issuance of the proposed $15,000 fine to pay or to file an appeal. This past June 3rd, the FCC affirmed the previously issued notice of apparent liability. In doing so, the FCC said that Section 301 of the Communications Act explicitly sets forth the Commission's jurisdiction over all radio transmissions, both interstate and intrastate. At that time, the Oleneks were again given the 30 days from the release of the order affirming the fine to pay it or to file any form of appeal, which they apparently did. On August 19th, in a memorandum, opinion, and order, the FCC denied the Oleneks petition for reconsideration. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Victoria, Texas.
The Oleneks were again told that payment is due within 30 calendar days after the release date of the memorandum opinion and order. Whether or not the Oleneks will continue the appeals process or possibly take the matter into the federal court system is unknown as we go to air. The FCC has denied a June 19, 2013 request from Del Norte County, California, that it be permitted to unnarrow band its radio system back to its 25 kilohertz channels. In its filing, the county had claimed that its narrowband system had reduced critical coverage by 40%, also that 3 to 5 additional towers would be needed to restore it to its capability, noting that the county had only 30,000 people and no spectrum congestion. It asked to be permitted to return to wideband operation. But in declining the request, the FCC noted that, among other reasons, that the county would eventually experience a less reliable system. Also, that the wider bandwidth equipment would become obsolete. Volume 2, Issue 1 of the free radio astronomy publication, Ragazine, is now available for download. This edition includes articles on such topics as an introduction to objects that can be detected by the amateur radio astronomer, a simple digital interferometer, the quarterly VLF observing report, and much more. You can download this and previous issues at tinyurl.com/ragazine. Despite software issues, the World Digital ATV Party will go ahead as scheduled. While most activity in this global event is based around amateur radio ATV frequencies, the Internet-based Skype connection service is used for interstate and international connections. However, Skype is currently grandfathering out older versions of its software, and the new version does not support imported video from USB dongles such as EasyCap. These are the devices used to take the output video as received from the ATV repeater and send it to the remote anchor station. Peter Cosens, VK3BFG, appears to have found a temporary workaround, but it will be dependent on the administrators of Skype and their timetable. Either way, the event will take place on Friday, August 29th and Saturday, August 30th, Melbourne, Australia time. In the United States, the W6ATN amateur television network in Southern California will be taking part. Also, the British Amateur Television Club will be streaming the event on its website at www.batc.tv. Some names in the news. First is Sheikh Sadhatullah, who was recently featured in the August 11th edition of India's Trinity Mirror evening English language newspaper. According to the article, VU2SDU, who has a rare blood group, started donating blood in 1993 at the suggestion of VU2HMN. She told him one of her relatives with the same rare blood group was to undergo heart surgery. You can read the entire story at trinitymirror.net/news by using the search argument VU2SDU. Back in the United States, David Anthony, AC2CM, a member of the Oswego County, New York Emergency Communications and Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, has been honored with the 2014 Service Award. This is for dedication to the amateur radio group that helps government agencies with emergency communications needs. AC2CM has been a member of the group since 2006. Since then, he has participated in numerous races activations that provided reliable communications between responding agencies, field-to-field and field-to-base locations. As a races volunteer, Anthony often works at the Joint Information Center during the county's nuclear power plant exercises. More about Dave Anthony, AC2CM, and his volunteer efforts is on the web at tinyurl.com/races-volunteer-honored. Katie Allen, WY7YL of Sundance, Wyoming, has joined the staff of HRD LLC, the developers and distributors of the Ham Radio Deluxe Station Control Package. Allen is an extra class with various interests in amateur radio, from contesting and DXing to volunteering. While still a general, she achieved both worked all states and DXCC. Additionally, she serves as an ARRL volunteer examiner, as the ARRL Assistant Section Manager for Wyoming, and as the Director of Development for Rocky Mountain Ham Radio. At HRD, Allen will be involved in providing technical support, documentation, and sales of the company's Ham Radio Deluxe software suite. Paul Stetzer, N8HM, has announced a new award for contacts made via the AO73, which is better known as the FunCube 1 amateur radio satellite. Stetzer says that the requirements for this award are very simple. Just work 73 unique stations on AO73 on or after September 1st, 2014. That's it. N8HM says that there are no geographic restrictions on your operating location, and no QSL cards are required. When you complete the requirements, simply email your log extract, including the call sign of each station worked, the UTC time, and dates of all contacts to n8hm@arrl.net. Also include the address where you would like your certificate to be sent. According to Stetzer, there will be no cost for this award. However, donations to AMSAT UK and AMSAT North America's Fox satellite program are encouraged and will be appreciated. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. AMSAT UK has announced that there will be an amateur radio village and special event station at the Electromagnetic Field, or EMF 2014 event, taking place August 29th to the 31st. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the details.
EMF 2014 is described as a festival for anyone interested in radio, electronics, space, homebrewing, robotics, 3D printing, internet culture, and pretty much anything else you can think of. It is a volunteer effort by a nonprofit group inspired by European and U.S. maker groups like the Chaos Communication Camp and Tour Camp, to name a few. This year's event will take place at Bletchley near Milton Keynes in Buckinghamshire, England. Attendees are invited to set up their own villages within the camp. That's where like-minded people can gather and put on their own activities. The EMF team of volunteers will supply power and internet to each tent. Ham Radio Wise, special event station GB2EMF will be on the air from the amateur radio village, but as of now, no operating schedule, bands, or QSL routing has been made public. One thing that likely won't happen is a portable crossband repeater that was to be on the air during the gathering. Unfortunately, telecommunications regulator Ofcom's licensing issues may preclude this. Either way, it appears as if EMF 2014 is going to be a maker, hacker, and ham radio good time. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD reporting.
For more information on this event, go to www.emfcamp.org or follow the event on Twitter at EMFCamp. A new and updated 5 MHz allocations chart has been issued by Paul Gaskell, G4MWO of St. Helens in the UK. According to Gaskell, it's been several months since the last version of the worldwide amateur 5 MHz allocations chart. G4MWO says that due to the increasing number of 5 MHz allocations, for readability it is no longer possible to retain the chart in its original PDF-type format. Because of this, it has been reconfigured as a Microsoft Excel file instead. G4MWO says that the newly updated worldwide amateur 5 MHz allocations chart can be found on the web at tinyurl.com/OOFMEMH. On August 1st, a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket successfully carried an Air Force GPS 2F satellite into orbit. This is the seventh such satellite launched of a planned constellation of 12 such birds. This satellite is the third launched in 2014, with one more planned for later this year. On the air, keep an ear open for special event station PA7OMG to be operational from the Netherlands from September 12th to the 21st. This is to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the World War II Operation Market Garden by paratroopers and Allied forces, which began on September 17th, 1944, to help liberate the region after 4 years of German occupation. If you make contact, QSLs go direct or via the Bureau to PB0AEZ. Also, be on the lookout for special event station B4YOG to be active until August 28th. This operation is being held to celebrate the second Youth Olympic Games in the city of Nanjing, China. This station has been operational on 40, 30, 20, 15, and 10 meters using CW, single sideband, and PSK. QSLs go via BD4WO, either direct or via the Bureau. In DXIZ0CKJ will be active stroke IB0 from Palmarola Island until August 31st. His operations are on 40, 20, and 15 meters during his daytime hours and mainly on single sideband. Listen for his QSL information as directed on the air. Members of the Romanian Radio Club Association will activate Ferasiri Island for the first time as YP0F between August 22nd and September 30th. Operations will be on the high-frequency bands, QSL via Y09FNP. EA7FTR will be active between September 5th and October 10th as D44KS from Boa Vista, which is the easternmost island of Cape Verde. Due to work commitments, his hours of operations will be limited to his spare time. Listen for him on 40 through 6 meters using single sideband and RTTY and QSL via EB7DX. W5JON will be on the air as V4JA from his vacation home at Calypso Bay on St. Kitts between September 29th and November 12th. Activity will be on 160 through 6 meters, including 60 meters using single sideband. He will also be operational during the CQ Worldwide DX single sideband contest as a single operator, all band entry. In addition, his wife, who holds the call W5HAM, will occasionally operate as V47HAM. All QSLs go to W5JON direct or via Logbook of the World. No Bureau QSLs for this operation. ZL2MF will be operational as EM6MF from Niniway Island between September 2nd and the 9th on 40, 20, 15, and 10 as well as 6-meter single sideband. Look for him also in the All-Asian DX single sideband contest on September 6th and 7th. QSL via ZL2MF direct or via the Bureau. AC-8G will be operational as J-37K from St. George's between October 24th to the 26th. Activity will include the CQ Worldwide DX single sideband contest on October 25th and 26th, signing J-3A. QSL J-37K via AC-8G and J-3A via WA-1S. Lastly, DL7DF will be on holiday in Senegal between November 1st and the 13th and plans to be on the air stroke 6W, but only as time permits. Operation will be on 160 through 10 meters using CW, single sideband, RTTY, PSK31, and single sideband. QSL to DL7DF direct or by the DARC Bureau. And finally, this week, more than a dozen residents at Redlands, California Retirement Community have become amateur radio operators and are working to familiarize themselves with the local disaster relief plan. This in the event that emergency personnel were unable to reach their Plymouth Valley Retirement Community should a disaster situation arise. Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lassick, K9BIK, has more.
According to the Redlands Daily Facts online newspaper, Keith Kaysen, AI6BX, is the Plymouth Village Executive Director, who is leading the group. In the article, Kaysen explained, Plymouth Village is required to have an emergency response plan as part of its day-to-day operations, also that the program provides those involved with a chance to be proactive. The group is made up of Plymouth Village volunteers that meet regularly and also hold practice drills using amateur radio. Each volunteer is responsible for a portion of the retirement community. Kaysen says that once training and exams are complete, Plymouth Village will see around 30 certified operators working to keep residents safe. According to Kaysen, Plymouth Village is a 37-acre campus with a population of 300. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Essick, K9BIK reporting.
The complete story about this unique community self-help disaster planning is on the web at tinyurl.com/Plymouth-Village-Ready. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@newsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD. Saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014. All rights reserved.